Thank you, Trevor. Preds will finish up the month of January tonight out in the desert on the strip against the Golden Knights. 9 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you at 8 o'clock. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, now joined by Predators GM David Poile. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Good morning to you guys.
Hope you're staying dry.
Everything's good. Everything's good. Looking forward to this last game before the break. A lot of talk about the break in terms of the benefits of it, or maybe even the possible downside of it, depending on how your team is playing. I think for us, with some of the injuries, like with Kyle Turris, Salamaki, Ronaldo, I think it gives us a good chance to get close to 100%, you know, coming out of the break. There's no question that the 82-game schedule is a real grind. So I'm really hoping our players use this in a positive way and we get a win tonight and feel good about the break before we come back.
You've done this 82-game schedule for 35-plus years, David. Coming after tonight and then coming out of the break, it's the stretch run. There's 30 games left in the regular season. What are you looking for at that point? You hit this mile marker every year. You personally, as a GM, and you're getting a little bit closer to the deadline. What are you looking to try to see as you kick off the month of February?
Well, as you just said, for the management side of it, it coincided with the trading deadline being within, basically three weeks. It's February 25th. So we, like I imagine just about every other team has just finished their, what we call, mid-year meetings, both on the amateur side and on the pro side. We'll be having regular calls with our pro scouts as we get closer to the deadline and go over what we met about 10 days ago in our meetings and just make sure that we are looking at all possibilities to improve our team before we get into this stretch drive. But as far as the schedule is concerned, lots of division games, lots of conference games in the last 30 games of the season. It's almost a split. I think we may have two more home games and road games. I think our travel is not too bad. So the density of the schedule is pretty high at the last part of the season. But for us, I think in comparison to other teams, I think we've got a pretty good schedule. So right now, it's like really focusing on what we need. And as I've said, almost every week when I talk to you guys, I'd really like to get 100% healthy to see what we have before we, you know, venture off into, you know, maybe making a trade that might take us in a different direction.
Yeah, you're getting oh so close to hopefully that happening. In fact, I guess might as well just hit on that. Do you feel confident? You got Kyle Turris. Is he getting pretty close to rejoining the team? You had Yannick Weber rejoin the team a couple of games ago. How about Kyle Turris?
Yeah, I think we're getting close. I think with Kyle, there's going to be probably a little bit of time after the break. I don't anticipate him playing in the first two games coming out of the break, but I would hope after that, from a conditioning and practice standpoint, that he'll be getting pretty close. And Salamaki and Ronaldo, I feel they should be close also.
Okay. You told us last week before the Winnipeg game, you wanted to really watch and observe that game and see how the two stacked up, what Winnipeg looked like. That was just the second time you'd seen them. There'll be two more meetings up in Winnipeg in the month of March. So what was your takeaway from the game on last Thursday?
Not good. I'd like to have a do-over on what I said. I'm not. I'd like to throw that one away. Every year there's certain games that are disappointing, and obviously there's a lot more games that are really positive for you, but that was not one of our better games all across the board. I mean, they, for whatever reason, they just seemed to have the jump on us. I mean, give up a goal late in the first period, early in the second period. I mean, just a bad night all around. So, that does not put me in a position where we got to go out and do something different. Like everybody talks about the matchup between, you know, Winnipeg and Nashville. I mean, it may happen. It may not happen. I mean, you don't know for sure. And again, I think, you know, we got to take care of our own team before we just compare ourselves to just one other team in the league. There's lots of good teams in the league, and Winnipeg is one of them. I mean, I just go back to last year, is that we played in a seven-game series, the seventh game at home, and, I mean, that was anybody's series. I thought we should have won, could have won, and I'm not afraid to play them again next this season if that opportunity presents itself. But I think to a man, we realized that was not one of our better games. So hopefully in the next two times we play Winnipeg, our game and our results will be much different.
So did I take that answer, because that was kind of my follow-up, is that you said that didn't really influence you. Even though you didn't like what you saw, it didn't really change your mind of how you felt, I guess, for the next 3 weeks or so when you have to make a tough decision on whether to trade or not?
I guess what I meant by my comments going into the game is that I was expecting us to play really well and to win the game. And then I'd be talking to you this week saying, you know, I feel really good about our team. I think it's as simple as that. But we all know life is not perfect. The game of hockey certainly is. Lots of ups and downs, and I'd just like to move on from that game, and we'll get our chance with Winnipeg two more times in the regular season and maybe again in the playoffs.
Is that something you've had to learn over the years, David, is to not get too wrapped up into what happens in any one particular game? Because it was easy for all of the people that have watched these two teams go head-to-head, and if you go back and look, in the last 14 meetings, each team has won 7. But it's easy after that one game to say, oh, boy, all of the weaknesses. Look at all the great things that Winnipeg does, and Nashville's got to do something to combat that. But in the reality is these two teams have been almost even over the long haul.
Right. Yeah, and we have, and we've won in their building, and they've won in our building. So it's, I think, again, we're at the top of our division as we were last year. So it's two of the better teams, hopefully, in the whole league that are going against each other. And, you know, I think the fact that we're 7-7, as you said, in the last 14 games, pretty well says it right there that anything can happen. They came out on top in the last game. They came out on top in the playoffs. Hopefully we'll get our chance to come out on top the next time around.
Speaking with Predators GM David Poile, along those lines, it is interesting. I want to get your thoughts on this, if it's a big deal. Not a big deal. You said last 14 games, each team is taken 7 of those 14. Looks very even on that. Last year they played to game 7 in the second round of the playoffs. Going back, and if you do even a little bit smaller sample, in the last 9 meetings between the two teams, David, the team to score first has always won the game 8 out of 9 times. Ironically, the only game that didn't work was game 3 in Winnipeg in the playoffs last year when Nashville jumped out to the 3-0 lead. So it looks like for whatever reason, and really this team has done this all year, when they score first, good things happen. When they don't score first, bad things happen. What do you make of that 50 games in?
Yeah, we talk about that all the time because we're so good when we get the first goal of the game. I think I'm going to look this up right now, we're 23-2-1. 23-2-1 when we score the first goal. That's only 3 losses when we score the first goal. That's pretty convincing. I'd like to think that we have, on the flip side of this, I'd like to think that we have the ability, the skill, the manpower that we can come back in a more regular basis. But it just hasn't happened as much this year. When we haven't scored the first goal, we've only won 3 games and we lost 2 in overtime. So it is a convincing stat, and it's something that I think going down the stretch here, and certainly when you get in the playoffs, you got to have some comebacks. But saying that, I mean, when we get off to good starts, and that's sort of been a little bit of a topic right now where we haven't really got off to good starts. Even in our win in Colorado the other night, we won the game in the second and third period, but Pekarinen kind of had to hold the fort for the first period because we didn't get off to a good start. And again, that's something that coaches are talking about, the players are certainly aware of, and we know the importance of that first goal. So just another thing in our game that we have to get back to being a little bit better, get those first starts. And we know, like we played against Colorado, that we can shut teams down when we need to and have to. And after that first period, we played a real solid game, especially with the lead. We kind of took them out of the game with those first couple of goals.
Well, David Poile is with us, Predators GM. It's interesting what you've had to observe here, David, with these injuries. We've seen a long stretch where Ryan Johansson was playing without Forsberg and Arvidsson on his wings, and then the reverse has been true the last couple of games. You got to see what it looks like with Johansson out, Forsberg and Arvidsson in. And my question is, in talking about Kyle Turris, who's on his way back in there, it's been difficult to evaluate your second line because Kyle Turris has missed so much time here. How difficult a challenge is that when you have pieces missing, or is it a good way to find out about the individual value of each player?
It's a good way to find out for a certain amount of time, but there's no question that we're missing these guys, and guys just aren't in the right place this year. It's almost like I say, after the first 20 games, we don't have any consistency with our lines from game to game, and that's due to putting players in positions that maybe they're not familiar with, haven't had that opportunity, or maybe they're not good enough to play in those positions. So, as I said in the first question, we talk about the trading deadline. I mean, when you talk about all sorts of ideas, it's usually what I have in front of me is a depth chart, which shows that we're 100% healthy. And I hope that's the right way of doing it, and that's why it's a little bit of an uncertain situation. I mean, all the injuries we have, as I just said, they're coming back. They're not end of the year injuries or anything like that, but we just haven't had our team together. And you point out correctly that I think with Joey being back tonight, our first line, we're very confident that that's one of the best lines in the league, but we're not as confident in our second line, and that's because Turris has been out a couple of times this year, and there's been some inconsistencies with some of the other players. I feel confident on the third and fourth lines, whatever we put together. Nick Menino has been playing really well, and whoever plays with him, I mean, they seem to do a good job defensively, and they're also starting to score some goals. So second line is really the biggest question mark on our team right now.
David, last thing for you. One guy that has been plugged in into so many different roles, but he's shown his value in the process, Colton Sissons, who continues each year to add layers to his game, it seems like. He's become a guy that has really become part of the core now.
Absolutely. And, just if you look at how he's played year after year and the importance of our club, I mean, a lot of coaches like to refer to certain players as a fix-it type of guy that they need help on this line, and he can come in and do it. But I think, right now, Colton Sissons is doing as much as he can for our team. He's playing the wing, playing center, playing penalty killing, doing a little bit sometimes in the power play and the net front presence. So I really like where his game is going. I really like his compete. He's a guy that certainly we feel is going to be an important part if we're going to ever win anything in the playoffs and get a Stanley Cup. I can really envision Colton Sissons being a big part of our team.
David, always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much for doing this. Go get a win in Vegas tonight and enjoy the All-Star break.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, that is Preds GM David Poile. We talk to him every week on the program. Usually it's Tuesdays, but this week it had to be Wednesday. Of course, we have to work around his schedule. He's a busy man, and that's brought to you by Gary Force Acura. Every week brought to you by Gary Force Acura. We'll talk about some of the things you just heard on the other side. You're listening to Darren and Donick on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.